should have cleaned up my desk.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We are happy to have you here on the special matinee version of Sped Homeschool Conversations. Normally, we are at 8 o'clock at night, but today we have a special guest and special time. And so we're going to talk about faith, family, and special needs with Steve Demme. And we thank you, Steve, for being here and joining us for this conversation. And for all of you who are joining us live, we're excited to have you with us.
That's fun. I can see their names. Hi, everybody.
Yeah. And so when people's comments and questions come up too, you'll be able to see those, and we'll build those into our conversation. But okay. Just so all of you know that this broadcast is put on by Sped Homeschool. We are a nonprofit that helps parents to homeschool children with special educational needs. And I am Peggy Ployer. I'm the founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool. And I'm excited that Steve is our board chairman elect for 2020. Very exciting to have you on our board next year and part of our mission.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, definitely. So so why don't you give our audience just a little background about just why the subject is something near and dear to your heart. I know a lot of people know you as the founder of Matthew C, but they don't know a whole lot of your background related to faith and just your love of the Lord and families with special needs and how all that kind of comes together.
Okay, how long do I have to do this one?
Well, we only have an hour. Oh, and I also want to thank A Reason for sponsoring this episode. I almost missed that. We'll hear a little bit from them midway through this.
Okay, so let me give you a short biography, because every once in a while when I reflect on God's providences in our own life, I graduated from seminary. My wife and I got married the next day. We entered the ministry a few months later, and we lived in Georgia at the time, and God blessed us with three boys, and I was pastoring. I was also a school teacher because it was a small church, so I was a math teacher in the local public schools, and I had a full plate, and then our fourth boy was born with Down syndrome, and that was unexpected, because we hadn't done any testing ahead of time. I don't know what you call those things, but right. We thought there was a little bit of a risk to it, so we didn't do it. And John came forth in the midwife's facility. She started detecting that his hair was a different color than my other boys, because I'm talking to her. I was there at the birth, and she said, "Look, he's got light red hair." And I thought, boy, and I said, all my other boys had thick black hair. And then that was her first indicator. And she started looking for other things that might signify that he had Down syndrome, which she began to expect. So that day, our life changed. And we didn't know how much, but I didn't know anybody with Down syndrome. I really didn't know anybody with special needs, except for one young man I'd gone to high school with. And so this was a whole new world that opened up to us.
Right.
And this is where our life changed. And every once in a while now, when I reflect and go back and look back, I see that almost everything I'm doing today is a result of having my son with special needs.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And I'll just say that the first year was very difficult, because he had almost died of a virus. So he was in the hospital for three and a half months in an oxygen tent. It was RSV virus, which I just noticed yesterday in our newspaper that RSV virus this time of year is very dangerous. This is exactly the time of year it was. So he was in an oxygen tent for a week, and then they detected that he had heart problems, which we then found out later, because it was a learning curve. We didn't go out and read six books on Down syndrome. We were just trying to live day to day.
Exactly. And, it's hard when you have a newborn, you have three kids already. You don't have time anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other boys, if you're interested, were 7, 5, and 2.5. And we were already committed to homeschooling as we thought this was the best way to train our children to live forever. So we were all in on that. But in the process, then they detected him when he was in there that he had a heart problem, which then we found out is 40% of Down's children. Right. So we had two catheterizations, and this is 32 years ago. So it wasn't like today where open heart surgery is like outpatient surgery, but they found out he had a heart problem. So we went in at 8 months and he had an open heart surgery. And then he still wasn't just right. And I remember the doctors telling us he's fine. And I said, my wife disagrees. Check again, because she's not wrong. You have to trust woman's intuition. And so that's what happened was, is they went back and they detected that he had a blockage in his intestine. So then he had intestinal surgery. And as a result of all these trips to the hospital, trying to be a pastor, trying to be a school teacher, it really wasn't John. It was the fact that I was overextended anyway. But this was just put us over the edge. And so my wife got candida, chronic fatigue, Epstein-Barr, lost 60 pounds, and she could hardly function. And I didn't know how to answer the telephone. I'm supposed to be a pastor, but couldn't wait for people to leave on Sundays so I could be by myself and try to recoup. And so then what happened was we eventually, within 8 months or so, I resigned from the ministry and resigned from teaching and everything else I was doing. And we moved to a different state to kind of rebuild our family. And I had to make a living, and I ended up tutoring kids in math, which grew into Matthew C. And that, even then I struggled because I thought, boy, I'm working for filthy lucre. I want to be serving God, and I have this job and I'm getting paid, and I want to live by faith and follow Jesus. And for years I had like this dichotomy. I was going back and forth feeling like I really wasn't fully following God, but boy, I just didn't have the energy. And yet I look back now and it's pretty clear that God has used my son to transform our life. He taught me that whether we eat, drink, write math books, or pastor, we do all to the glory of God. So, and
that is such an important message. I think a lot of our parents get stuck in that. And I know I did too. You know, the whole thing of my son being diagnosed, I was just ready to send him to school and I didn't want to homeschool. And you find your purpose when you follow whatever God has in your life. And those are the hard times because they change you.
Yeah. And for 2 years, I struggled to kind of keep my life together. I think of myself as Humpty Dumpty. I was really afraid to tell people how I was doing, because if I really opened up, I didn't even tell God how I was doing. Not that he didn't know.
Right.
I was still reading my Bible. I was still praying. I was still, you know, praying for food and before we ate and all those kind of things. But was that a little plug you just put in for HSLDA?
I'm drinking out of their mug. Yes.
This is how you do marketing. I see this. This is very clever.
Yeah. Send me your mugs. Or
so, I struggled. And that was the thing was, is that my family knew I was struggling. And even though I could fake it, you might say, at church, and I could fake it at my job, I couldn't fake it at home. And I was not in good shape. And one day, by the way, I lived in the Psalms for 2 years. I make a habit of reading through the entire Bible every year. Right now, I'm winding down. I just started Daniel this morning in the Old Testament, and I just finished James in the New Testament. So you can tell I'm almost done.
Yep.
And I could not read my Bible for 2 years. All I did was read the Psalms over and over and over, because I felt like David was the only one that understood what it felt like to be broken. And I couldn't even articulate that until one day I read Psalm 55:22, and Psalmist says, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be moved." And what that communicated to my heart was, if you let me carry your burden, you will not fall apart. Because bottom line is, like Humpty Dumpty, I felt like if I really told God and people how I was doing, I would fall apart. Mm-hmm. And all the king's horses wouldn't be able to put Steve back together again. So I was, that verse was just my lifeline. And Saturday morning, I came home. I've been teaching in a Christian school that year. And I came home on Saturday morning, locked the door, knelt by my bed, and just poured out my heart to God and wept and just told him all my problems and all my fears and all my concerns about having this boy. Mm-hmm. And God began to rebuild me.
Yeah.
That's when I began to heal, because I cast my burden. I let him carry it with me. And that was transformational. So,
yeah, it's beautiful, because I've seen that happen in my life so many times. You get to that breaking point, and you God pushes us to that point because he knows he has something better for us. But we are hanging on to so much else that we want and think that needs to stay there. And finally, we get to the point where we say, I'm ready to let go. And that's when change happens.
It's not that we do it just once, but for me, that was kind of a pivotal experience. And then I started this little thing called Matthew C, but it really started, I didn't have any ambitions of creating a business. I would just, I realized I just wasn't fitting into the schools anymore. I taught several years in a public school, and then I taught this one year in a Christian school. Mm. And the idea was, I was offered the job of, let's just teach one year, then Steve, next year you can be the headmaster. But you know, I was in that school for 2 days, and I said, no, I'm a homeschooler at heart. I don't fit. I don't want to make kids stand in little lines in the hallway. I don't want them to make them hold ropes. I don't. I didn't work. But anyway, I finished my obligation, and the next year I started this tutoring business, just helping people learn how to do math, because I found out I had a gift for teaching math. And so I started tutoring, writing my own worksheets. Homeschoolers started networking, telling their friends. It's a total God story. Because I was not, people say, I've been asked to speak as an entrepreneur. I didn't even know how to spell the word. It's got two R's, by the way.
I mess it up every time, too.
I was not an entrepreneur. I was a burned out man just trying to put food on the table. And I started teaching kids math, and it grew. And it was a God thing again. And so Matthew C., grew and came out of that. But even in those early years, as I said, I felt like I was I felt like I was a second class Christian, because I was working in addition to ministering. And I was still I ended up going back into a part-time ministry, and then I was a co-pastor, and then I'd always done youth work. But God began to work in my heart and show me that whatever we do to the glory of God, whether we eat, drink, write math books, paint houses, whatever. Mm-hmm. So that little guy, if I can just tell you a little more.
Yes.
So that little guy, man, I'm starting to cry now. That little guy is now 32. He's my best buddy. We're together all the time. He fell asleep last night when we were watching Monday Night Football. But in 2011, I was at a conference speaking on family devotions, and I spoke on Deuteronomy 6:7, which is, you shall what? Teach your children diligently. Mm-hmm. When? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And that verse had shaped my life. And that's one of the reasons we homeschooled, because I thought, how can I fulfill that verse unless I'm with my kids all the time? Right. And I saw that as the biblical basis for home education. And finally, somebody at a conference, I think it was in Alaska, 10 years ago this year, they said, how come you always leave out the two verses that precede that one? You always start in verse 7. What about verses 5 and 6? And I said, I don't know. So I went and I got my big black Bible out, and I looked at it, and it says, in my way of thinking, before I can teach my children to love God and his word, verse 5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's directed to parents. Mm-hmm. And these words which I command you this day shall be on your heart.
Right.
And I went, oh, that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. I need to love God with everything in me, and I need to love his word with everything in me. And then it'll just flow that I'll teach my children to love God and his word, and I'll teach them diligently, and I'll be with them all the time, passing on my faith. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense. So I remembered that church in Ephesus, though, that had lost their first love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought, I'm not questioning my salvation. It's just so everybody can be relaxed now.
Yeah.
I'm simply saying that I didn't want to lose my first love. And I started praying. I said, Father, help me to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And don't let me be one of those that have lost their first love. Help me to, you know, love you with everything in me. And that started a reviving in my own heart. Mm-hmm. Kind of like an awakening, and the key was my son.
Mm-hmm.
Because I realized during this process that I really had fallen back into thinking that God loves me more if I do more stuff.
Oh.
You know, if I serve him more, if I read my Bible more, if I'm more involved in the church. And I'm not want to go into that because that could be a whole podcast there. In fact, I've written a book on
right.
that. So we'll just forget that. But the point is, and you know who God used to teach me about unconditional love? It was my son, John, because he doesn't love me because of what I can do. He loves me because I'm his pop.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how my days begin. This morning, I was up a little after 6 and I was sitting there reading my Bible. And my son wakes up a little bit before 8 and he comes in there and he leans over my chair and he gives me this sloppy kiss, and he gives me a hold. It's not a hug, it's a hold.
Mm.
And my son, he just loves Pop.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know what I can do. He just knows who I am.
And you're there.
And so in 2009-10, I finally started seeing this. And I said, Lord, help me to believe that you love me like my son does.
Mm.
And that started a transformation that's been going on since 2011 and 12, that God began quickening me, reviving me, and rebuilding my relationship with him based because of my son. Because my son thinks I'm the best thing since sliced bread. And you know what? I think he's the best thing since sliced bread. And we have this love thing going, and we just... My love language
so much
is
joy.
My love language is not touch. All right. I don't like to be kissed. I don't like to be slobbered on. I don't like to even be hugged too much. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Except for John.
Mm-hmm.
He's excused.
Yeah.
Yeah. But God used that boy to give me a taste of what it means to be unconditionally loved by my Heavenly Father. And God continues to use that boy. And the only problems he has right now, the weather's changing. He does not like snow.
Oh, I agree with him. That's
well,
I'm
because he loves work. Okay. And to him, work, most of us like snow because it means no work. And he likes work. And so if it's snowing when he gets up, it's pretty close to cussing, and I have to keep him straight there. And, but that boy this morning, it was supposed to snow here. I'm in Pennsylvania, and it didn't. And he got up and he went, ha, see, Pop? Like, I have nothing to do with the snow. But anyway,
oh,
okay, so is that kind of what you want me to talk, or you have more questions? You're a good question asker. Go for it.
Oh, well, you know, I think it's, first of all, I just thank you for being so open and sharing, because these are struggles every special needs parent deals with. And I think more so if we're in the church and we have been raised, you know, with that mentality of doing is my thing. You know, I need to please God. And I grew up in that same focus. I just finished a study on Romans, and that the whole thing is about not works. And it's about obedience, and that walk in obedience, you know, that you have taken in front of your family and just being open about your struggles and allowing God to speak through the simplicity of your son. And I think oftentimes we get agitated at the special needs of our children because they don't fit in that mold of doing. And yet that's exactly the purpose that God uses those issues of our own and our children in our lives to point to, we don't have to do, we just have to be. And so thank you.
Yeah. I hope before I die, I get it.
Well, Paul said I'm working on it, and I think we're all kind that's of right. there.
we're pressing on, but exactly. Yeah, you are totally right, and that's the ministry that I get from John is, mm-hmm. and he encourages so many people because he just loves people.
Yeah,
and he gives hugs to the manager at the local restaurant, and he gives high fives to people mm-hmm. in the bank, and he meets people. And, you know, he just leaves this wake of smiling faces behind him. And mm-hmm. he doesn't know what they can do or not do. He just knows
right.
these are people. And mm-hmm. he's such a testimony to me. And I think, you know, if we can just pull back from this Western mentality that we judge ourselves by what we do, by how much we have and all these kind of things. And we know it's foolish, but yet it's ingrained in us. It's like part of our DNA.
Yeah.
But if the two great commandments are to love God and love others, my son wins.
Exactly.
He really does love God. He looks forward to going to church, and he likes to pray, and he loves people. And may God infuse his spirit into my heart so that I make sure that my two greatest priorities are to love God and to love others as God has loved me. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that brings up a point is, you know, some of our families try to, I know we've had other conversations in the past on our shows about building up the faith lives of all of our family members. And how did that look in your family, you know, with John's needs as well as your other boys' needs and just you and your wife's needs? How did you balance that? And I mean, I know that we all struggle in those areas, but how did you find that you were able to help everybody kind of individually through their own needs and getting closer to God?
Boy. That's a big question.
Sorry. Well, maybe while you're thinking about that, I want to thank
you. No, I'm going to start, and then you come back and bring me back to track again.
Okay.
So the first thing is, okay, why? Is somebody going to ask a question?
No, I was just saying thank you, Sylvia, for joining us, and also the rest of you. If you're watching and you want to ask a question or make a comment, please do so in the feed. We actually will see those, and we can bring them up.
Yes. So for... The first one was that there is a temptation to make your special needs child like the focus of your world.
Yeah.
And that was something that we struggled with. Not we didn't struggle, but that was like our first hurdle. Mm-hmm. And we could have put our children that we were already chosen to homeschool them. We could have put them into a private school of some sort, and then we could have, you know, taking our son to this therapy, that therapy, this whatever. And he needed those things. You know, the thing we've learned about Down syndrome is they just need work. There's a lot of things that happen normally to normal kids, and they don't, Johnny has to learn everything. Yeah. And so we were blessed that there were people praying for us. And we got a call one day from somebody that recommended we do a program called NACD. Now, there's a lot of similar programs out there now, but at the time, it was the only one we knew of. They're out of Utah. Bob Doman is the president. I think his sister Ellen is one of his helpers. But NACD trained us and volunteers from our local community to do John's therapy in home. So instead of having to drive him to vision therapy, drive him to occupational therapy, drive him to this, we were able to maintain our commitment to homeschool our other kids. Mm. And if I let myself, I could probably beat myself up by saying, yes, but John didn't get 14 hours a day of therapy, and he's not all that he could have been, but we felt like he was one of four, and we wanted to.
You have to balance it.
We did. And, but that enabled us to balance it because we were able to do in-house, and we've met other therapists from that are professional therapists. And when they saw the program that we were doing, they said, "You're doing well. Keep it up." So that was one of the first hurdles we faced. Mm-hmm. A current hurdle that we're facing is that my son, I mean, he lives with us, mm-hmm. and he's going to live with us, God helping us, and as long as we can. But my wife and I, we still make time for what we call our getaways. They're scheduled on our calendar, and we pay people, either my own sons or we pay some caregivers, and they take care of John for a weekend, and we just take off. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, I'm not sure what I'm going to do this afternoon. My wife has this calendar of the Medes and Persians, and so on the calendar, these are scheduled, and she just looks at the calendar, and it blesses her to know that we're going to have a Thursday night through a Sunday, and I know we're rich, and...
Oops. We lost Steve for a second here. Oh, there he's back. I'm going to bring him back up. Probably just had a glitch in his feed. So there we go. He probably dropped off for your internet for a second.
Okay. Yeah, if you don't have that opportunity, though, pray that God will raise up some people to give you, even if it's one night a month, even just a day. Pray for God to provide people to come alongside. We met a girl at Johnny and Friends Family Retreat who was the photographer 1 year, and she grew up next door to a girl with Down syndrome, and she's amazing, and she comes and stays with John. Now, I have issues of abandonment. I've gone to therapy now. I know where it comes from. I'm all set. But the problem is I have more trouble leaving my son than he does being left.
Yeah. I think a lot of us parents do that. Yeah.
But, you know, I'm dealing with my own issues, but I'm also recognizing that my wife and I need some us time. Mm-hmm. Even though we love John and he's an asset in our home and I personally miss him, mm-hmm. those weekends once in a while, and it's tough during the conference season when I'm speaking and on the road, but right now, next weekend, we're going to be off. Just the two of us. And sometimes we just go to a hotel. Sometimes we go to a little cabin, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we just need that time. So what was the question again at the beginning? See, I'm already on a tangent.
You've met the different needs of your family.
Okay. And then my sons, the first two boys, not so much, but the youngest, the third son, he was neglected. The first year when we were in all of our therapies and all of our surgeries and all back and forth at the hospital, he was 2.5. That's when toddlers are supposed to be the limelight. They're supposed to shine. They're supposed to get all the attention. And he didn't get much. And it didn't show up until he was a teenager. And he started exhibiting some, he was just mean sometimes. Mm-hmm. And my second son became the defender. And so he'd step in and, finally, we sat down with our third son and said, "Let's talk about this. And, you know, where's this coming from?" And and he had some resentment, and he did miss some attention. And they get along great now. We've prayed, we've worked it through, we've talked it out. But we tried not to let Johnny be the focus of our life. We tried to let each child have their own moments to shine. And not let our world revolve around John, which is easy to do.
It is super easy to do because they have so many needs and those things just rise to the top. But you do have to, be very methodical about how you handle that and what you need to say no to, even if it seems like it's good. It's not the best for the family. And that's what needs to come first.
So we worked real hard at that. But Johnny was incorporated into our life, and all of our sons have a great relationship with him. And right now, my kids are all in their 30s. And on Wednesday nights, I teach an ESL class at our church to immigrants in our community. And I drop off Johnny at my oldest boy's house. And they play video football, whatever. I don't know. I can't compete with them. And Johnny's really good at video games. I stink.
Oh, fun.
And then my oldest boy and my third son will go to movies with John. So they like to go to the movie theater and watch. They just watched the latest Terminator this week. And I don't understand all these different movies, but Johnny likes to go to movies. Those two like to go to movies. My second son, he's got three little foster boys, but on Friday nights, he takes Taekwondo. And so Johnny now is in Taekwondo. We've been doing this for several months now, and Ethan pairs up with John, and he takes care of him and teaches him how to kick and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So
that's good physical therapy.
That's regular stuff, but we have a family business. So Johnny works in shipping. Ethan's the CEO. Isaac is our jack of all trades. Joseph's in multimedia and marketing. And so he gets to see his brothers every day, and he'll go over and hang out with Isaac for a while. And then he goes over and hangs out with Ethan for a while and hangs out with, and then his job assistant has to find him and bring him back to work. So he does great with his brothers. Now, grandchildren, he doesn't have much space for. It's a funny thing. We get the grandkids a couple days a week in waves, and Johnny will lock the doors and go down into the downstairs and watch Netflix. And yeah, he loves them and they love him, but he's like an old man. He doesn't have the same capacity to hang out with little kids. And so we've been going to Johnny and Friends camp now since 2006. They have family retreats.
Yeah.
And when we first went, Johnny was 18, and there was three boys there with Down syndrome who were in their 30s. And see, I'm taking sign language, 30s. And talking to their parents was really informative and helpful for us, because we saw the same thing with those young men, that they endured their nephews and nieces. Even though they were loved.
It wasn't a surprise.
He just doesn't have that much. Now, some days he's great and he runs around with them and wrestles and all the rest, but some days he just needs his space. And meeting those older, I shouldn't say older, but they were like 12 to 15 years older than we were along the journey. It encouraged us, so that it wasn't a surprise when we saw our son acting that way. And that's one of the things that was, when we go to a Johnny and Friends family retreat, it's all the networking. It becomes like a second family to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you have questions, you know, the parents are all networking and interacting and praying for each other. And now that we have Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. We keep in touch throughout the year. And so that's probably next to NACD in the early years, which helped us with our education and his therapy and all those things. Johnny and Friends since 2006 has really been our fellowship group for other families affected by disability. And
that fellowship is so important, and it's not going to always look the same for everybody. And I think that's what we try to replicate, is that, fellowship needs to look this way. But with each of the unique needs of our children, it's going to look very different. And sometimes it's going to be a very small group of people that are going to be able to provide that for you because of just your schedule and your family needs. And so not putting that in a box as to needs to look like church, or it needs to look like, you know, a full week retreat, or it needs to,
Well,
just however it comes, God provides.
Well, our area here, we have something called a day of pampering, where a church hosts, it's just a one day event. And there's another church nearby that's got another one now. So there's two we could go to. But what they do is they invite in the moms, and they just love on them for a day. They just pamper them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the speakers one year gave a talk, and she talked about how all of our, every time you have a child, it's like you have a little bit more added to your backpack. So think of it, your first child is 5 more pounds into your backpack, and then your second child is a couple more pounds, et cetera. But when you have a special needs child, it's like all of a sudden you have a 50-pound backpack.
Yeah.
And it's not the same as everybody else. And you need to meet other people with 50-pound backpacks because...
Because they've learned some tricks on how to carry that thing.
Yeah. But I just think that we understand each other differently, and because we're going to have to say no to a lot of activities because we've got a 50-pound pack and then you only have a 5-pound pack, and I can't do this and I can't do that. And, you know, I've learned so much by going to Johnny and Friends family retreats because that has been our exposure to the special needs world.
Right.
And when we go up there, one man, he's got a son who takes 2 hours in the morning to get him ready for the day, 2 hours at night to put him down. And this father has been doing this for 30 years. And he said, people tell me, why don't you just go get an ice cream cone in the evening? He said, they have no idea. It takes me an hour to get him ready to go out. And then we have to wheel him into his van. And then we have to go find the handicap parking. And that whole excursion takes so much energy. It's just easier to stay home. And they'd love to be able to go out and get ice cream. But when you have that 50-pound pack, there's a lot of stuff you can't do. And the only people that understand it are other people that have 50-pound packs.
Right. Yes, so. Exactly. Yeah, so true. Well, we're going to hear a word from our sponsor. And then I'll bring Steve back, and we'll continue this conversation.
Do I disappear?
Do you want to stay or do you want to disappear? I will leave that up to you.
No, I'm going to change my glasses. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. All right. So all of our broadcasts this month and next month are sponsored by A Reason For. And A Reason For Handwriting is our sponsor today. Parents know that screens and electronic devices are everywhere. Even so, writing legibly and reading others' handwriting, it does remain a crucial life skill. And that's one reason that A Reason For Handwriting can help your child master. It, with their program, provides instruction to in correct letter formation, consistent daily practice to help children learn to write fluently, with exclusive border sheets that are suitable for display at home or even giving to others, which encourages kids to use their best penmanship. Most importantly, in every lesson, it equips them with essential knowledge of God's word and helps them build lifelong biblical worldview. So I would just encourage you to visit A Reason For. They have downloadable sample lessons if you want to try them out before you purchase anything. Definitely do that. Go to areasonfor.com and under handwriting and their samples and look for those today. So thank you, A Reason For sponsoring this broadcast. We greatly appreciate that. And just you being a partner organization with us at Sped Homeschool. So we're going to bring Steve back and continue our conversation. Oh, welcome back.
Hi. So does anybody have any questions, or is that your job to ask that?
I don't want
to steal your thunder.
I've got a comment, so let's bring that in. But definitely, we have viewers, so if you have any questions you've ever been dying to ask Steve, you can ask them now. She says, Sylvia says, I totally understand. So many times I've had to decline invites to places. It takes lots of time to get ready. Some family and friends don't understand. It is difficult. I mean, my parents, I'm the oldest of 14. I have adopted siblings that, my parents have to decline my own children. And that has been a difficult thing. And having to say grandma and grandpa don't have time for their own grandchildren, and giving that to God, that this was a calling in my parents' life to adopt and to have special needs children, and that we needed to work our lives as much as we could. I mean, at one point I kidnapped my mom for a weekend to take her to New York just so she could spend time with my daughter. And that worked. I worked it out with my dad ahead of time, so there was care in place for my siblings at home. But you kind of have to do things a little unnormal, and that's okay.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But all right, well, since we don't have any questions, I've got some, if you're okay with that.
Go for it. You're the host.
All right. So comparisons. And I think this kind of goes good off of what we were just talking about, was that, you know, 50-pound backpack and all those things. Is we still have this ingrained idea that my life needs to look like somebody else's life. And how do we come to grips with saying, this is okay? This is a good life. This is a unique calling, and this is where I can find joy.
Comparisons. So my first thought that came to my head was, I have a dear friend who had twins, and in the birthing process, the little boy had the umbilical cord around his neck. It was the midwife made a mistake, which is, I'll just take a little tangent. To me, my son was born with an extra chromosome. He's better than your kids because he's got more chromosomes. Okay. Anyway, but the point is that there's like nothing I could have done. And it just helps me to be more accepting, because this is a gift. This is who God gave us.
Right.
But I know a lot of people who have had their children go into the hospital normal and come out with a disability now. Mm-hmm. And you have to somehow trust God's providence. And, you know, my favorite name for God is Redeemer.
Yeah.
He takes our stuff, even mistakes, and he's able to weave them together and to bring good from them. So, okay, now I'm old. So ask me that question one more time.
Just how can we embrace uniqueness?
Okay. And knowing God, to me, changes the whole picture. To me, I look at John as a gift, because I now see that the most important lessons I've learned, and that most of the things I'm doing today, is a result of having John. And he's clarified, he's taught me what's important. But comparisons is the enemy of vision, I heard somebody say one time. And it was really hard for this friend that I was starting to tell you about, that she had twins, that one day she looks at her daughter, who's beautiful and accomplished, and she looks at her son, who's now in his 20s and in a diaper. And that, to me, is a lot harder. For me, I have looked at John, and I'm just grateful for what he can do. If I wanted to start thinking about what he should be doing at age 32, then I get all depressed. But to me, I just think of his pluses. I don't focus on his minuses. But if I had twins, to me, that was the challenge. And somehow she was able to do that. She was able to just embrace the situation. But comparison is tough, and especially when you're in peers. And so another reason to homeschool. So
it's so true. Take away all those standardized tests. And
because this is not just relegated to a special needs child. You're always comparing. If you're in a situation where your kids are in sports and they're in these age segregated classrooms, and they're supposed to be doing this when they're 18, they're supposed to be doing this when they're 22. And
yeah.
And I think part of it is the homeschooling mentality, is we're training up our children in the way they should go. And
exactly.
and we're recognizing that they each have their unique abilities, disabilities, strengths, weaknesses, and we just want God's will for their life. And so the fact that my son has a job, he goes to work, he loves people, I don't know. There's so many things I can be thankful for that I don't really think about what he could be, should be, you know, what a 32-year-old would do. He feels it more than I do, you know, and that's part of the biggest heartache, is he wants a girl to love, because he knows that this is what you're supposed to do. And So we're teaching him more and more sign language, because the more he's able to communicate, the bigger the field. But he's got some high standards, unfortunately. There's a couple of young ladies, I think, that they would like to get married, but he's got good taste. So
good for him.
he aims high, and God bless him. And if I could just get him to lower the bar a little bit. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's probably one of the biggest things for me is when he compares himself. I'm just so grateful that he's alive, that he's my son, that he loves people, he loves me. And maybe he can't talk. I just don't. My nature is I don't look at the things he can't do. Now, don't get me wrong. We're always gently prodding him to continue
to
develop, to communicate. Yes. We take sign language classes. You know, we're doing exercises together. I'm trying to start something at Orange Theory for people with disability. We go to, you know, we're trying to stretch him all the time. And so yesterday taught him how to use the leaf blower, and we were out blowing leaves together. So he's blowing leaves and I'm raking, and we work together, and he mows the grass sometimes, but you know, anyway, does that help?
Yeah, definitely. I did that. That didn't even cross my mind. We deal with so many parents, you know, with younger children, but as they get older, you do see that they start comparing themselves, and that's a whole nother hurdle, because the one nice thing is, yes, when we do homeschool, they aren't comparing themselves usually to classes of kids, and that peer mentality is not as strong as if they were in a public or private school. But still, they see other kids around and even their siblings, and why am I not doing this? And just to celebrate their uniqueness and what they do.
You know, he's a human being, and he wants to fit. He wants to connect with people. Mm-hmm. And when we were in NACD, she taught us you need to teach him how to play video games. So you have to understand, the first time we saw a video game was in a used van that we bought, because we didn't even have television in our home. We're one of these radical homeschoolers. And so John, he's got – what do you mean video games? Just to give you a little insight. So we're in the van one time, and one of my sons said, "Hey, Pop, can we play with the Abomination?" Okay, so you get my idea. But you know what? She said, "You need to teach that boy how to play video games." And so we did. And now he's a great player. But you know what? It opened up. He connected with all the neighborhood kids, the young men in the church. He's really good.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the second one thing. And he's got a job.
Yeah.
So he can tell people he goes to work. But you know what he does? He wears multiple NFL sports jerseys, and he'll connect with people because of sports. I'm a Steelers fan. That's it. But you know what? He's anybody but a Steelers fan. Okay, anyway, go ahead. You have questions? Comments?
Okay, you only have some comments and questions. Sylvia had stated that her son was born with HLHS after surgery. He had a stroke from blood clot that traveled to the left brain, and then while on life support, he had a massive brain bleed. He had so many complications. He developed epilepsy. All that trauma left him disabled with special needs. I used to say that, say, why my son, why him? But now he's here, and he's, It does. It changes our outlook on life, definitely. You know, that was one thing I shared when I spoke at the Homeschool Trade Association, was I just shared stories. I think oftentimes as a homeschool community, we don't often realize what the special needs families in our communities are going through. Just behind the scenes, we don't always talk about it because, well, we have a lot of medical information we probably don't want shared publicly. And also there's just so much trauma. We don't even know we don't want to dump it on people, but we do need to share it. And that, brings up, you know, Cheryl's question here. She says, "I've been watching a bit. What can homeschool groups do to be more inclusive?" That is a really hard question.
Boy, I'll have to think about that one, because that's something it's just not only homeschool groups. It's also church.
Yeah.
It's community. I mean, the reason that we're going to the church that we're going to now is because of how they treat my son.
Yeah.
I'm a big boy. I can probably go to church almost anywhere and find good. And, but you know what? I was looking for a church that was inclusive. And what I mean is my son is an usher. They don't treat him like a church mascot.
Program, this room where you stick people that have special needs, they are part of the body.
That's right. And he has something to offer. And more people will tell you when he passes out the bulletin, you watch their face light up because he'll end up giving them a hug. And even he'll stop when he's collecting the offering and he'll end up hugging somebody in the pew. And then and he just blesses people because he's part of the body of Christ. But I went to the ushers after we'd been there for a couple months and they'd included him. And I said, and I let them do it. I didn't get involved. I said, thank you for not patronizing my son. And thank you for treating him with respect and value because that's what he wants and needs. And he gets up in the morning on Sundays and he can't wait to get to church. When we were at a church with the little special needs room, he didn't want to go to church.
Yeah, no, they have something to give. They have, you know, it's, we talked about this last week in our broadcast. So if you missed last week, we're talking about reconciling the church and disabilities and your family. And also I've had an interview with, they're now called All Belong. They used to be the CLC network, but they work with creating inclusion programs in churches. And I know Key Ministry is another one. But there are some people that are doing it really well, and definitely to tap into those resources. But homeschool groups, it's identical.
Yes.
As it would be with churches or any other. It's you have to uniquely deal with every individual, just like you do. We can't mass educate, and that's why public education doesn't work. It's why we homeschool, and especially for kids who are so unique.
So, okay, so there's two questions on the thing. I'm reading them here. The first one is, you have to do education. I mean, the thing that people need to know is that special needs kids are like everybody else, except more so. I don't know who said that, but it's a great quote. They want to belong. They want to be understood. They want to be valued. They want to be treated with respect, dignity, all those things. But sometimes it takes just leave them at home someday and go have a workshop and you talk to the parents and talk to the kids and you say, this is what it's like. I mean, my second son has three boys that are fostering and they're hoping to adopt them. These are trauma kids. I've had to educate myself on what it's like to be traumatized. Their world is totally different. Their behaviors are not consistent, et cetera. But I've listened to a podcast. I've got a book by my bedside and it takes some work. And one of the things that we have at Johnny and Friends headquarters, which for Pennsylvania, we have a room called Finding the Forgotten where you go through, it takes about 30 minutes. You put on headphones and you enter into the world of five families with disability. And these people talk to you and they teach you what it's like to have a disability. And people need to be educated. Even the best-hearted people, they need to understand that these kids are just like you, but they need to understand what it means to be on the spectrum. They need to understand what CP is. They need to understand that people with Down syndrome are more gifted because they have more chromosomes. Okay, anyway, But no, really, there's an education process involved. And that's one of the things that Johnny and Friends, it's the ministry I'm affiliated with the most, but they exist to help because, you know, we know that Sunday mornings are the most segregated time in America, racially, but it's also disability wise. Most people with disability don't fit into church. And there's some churches, tragically, that have asked parents with disability kids to not come to Sunday school and not come to church. So it's not just homeschool groups, but anything we can do to educate one another and maybe have some very intentional times of talking what it's like to have a disability and you have to work at it, just like you have to work to get along with your neighbors. Can I address Cheryl's things right there?
Yeah.
Cheryl Hicks. Well, she talked about finding her circle. Cheryl,
how do you find your college and your homeschooling special needs. That's a big one. She says, I always seem like I feel judged by all around us, or we're around someone too long. They start to dislike us because of the invisible special needs. We have behavior issues, which we're working through, emotional ones too. 5 years homeschooling, still don't have a solid, consistent friendship circle. My boys love to be social. It breaks my heart. Oh, I've been there. I totally get it.
You're about ready to make me cry, Cheryl. So my son has a sign. When people see him, they know he has Down syndrome. And when you say invisible special needs, I totally understand that. And that, again, it takes education. It takes in some intentional stuff. But pray. I'm going to pray for you before this broadcast is out, if you don't mind, that God will raise up, because all you need is a couple people. And
that's what our family ended up doing. We had two other families. Their kids were exactly like mine, but they had siblings who understood the special needs kids. And those kids are still friends. They're in their 20s. That was our community. You have to create your own community of people that understand.
And I don't know. This is why SPED exists. If you can't find a physical community, an online community will be next best. But I know in Virginia, there's a co-op down there. We just met them at the HSLDA thing Peggy and I did. And now we have a school like that in Lancaster County that just started up. It's a co-op for just families with disability and kids that are normal. So they're trying to develop communities like that. So God can raise these places up. But for us, church was really important. And Johnny and Friends has become kind of our community via Facebook. And we have the summer conventions where we have a family retreat. And so, Cheryl, you might look in to see if Johnny and Friends has anything in your area. But now one of the things that we've started doing is I lead the men's ministry at Johnny and Friends in the summer. There's three camps I go to. And now we're having a January retreat just for fathers of families affected by disability. And I've been poor in promoting it. And in the last week, I've had two men say, hey, we're doing it again this January. So that's another part. Not only do your kids need fellowship, but parents need fellowship and dads need fellowship with other parents, because until you have a child with a disability, you just don't get it. You can have the biggest heart on the earth. Mm-hmm. It's just not, you don't get it. So,
I'd like to make a plug too for SPED Homeschool. We, starting in January, we're going to be creating regional groups where you can actually connect up with people who are close to you that are part of the SPED Homeschool Network. And so we're really excited to launch those. So if you join our support group now, you'll see when those are released and when the different regions start coming out. Because we want you to connect with each other and share local resources, as well as get in contact with each other, because that's what is going to help support you. Because homeschooling and special needs together is a unique combination, and it's a lot of work, definitely. And
Amen. We do need you. Amen. How are we doing there, boss?
A couple minutes left. So anything you want to say to wrap up? Or should we just pray?
Yeah, we can pray. But God knows. And one of the commands I think about in Scripture, as much as any, is bear one another's burdens. And one of the things that we do at Johnny and Friends Camp is I used to try to have these little pithy question asker, questions to start our small groups and get things. And now all I do is I teach them a couple principles of communication, and then we break up into small groups and we just listen to each other's stories. And just having somebody hear your story has a tremendous, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but it's healing. And it turns out now with this new studies in neuroscience that when you hear somebody's story and listen with empathy, and somebody listens to your story with empathy, both people are physically experience brain changes. And when I heard that, all I could think of was, it's true that we are bearing each other's burdens. by just hearing each other's stories. And it's really hard for Americans to turn off the fix-it switch and just turn on the hear switch. But the more we can find people that will just listen to us and hear our stories, whether they have special needs or not, we're all going to benefit. We're all going to be physically changed. And if you would like, if any of these people want to email me, I'll send you a link. But Building Faith Families, Building Faith Families is my website. Can you punch it in there somewhere, or how do I type it in there?
Saved up in my agenda, so let me pull that up.
Well, I have my book on communication, but in chapter 15 of that book is this unit on just small groups that I've learned by leading small groups at Johnny and Friends retreats. And you're welcome to read it for free, listen to it, download it, anything you want. So.
Yep. Well, and I have to share with you, Steve, you shared this with me, I think on a phone call we had last year, and I went and spoke up in Canada and led a session. And the opening session, this is what I did. I cut my talk short and I had the families get around the tables and share. They didn't want to leave. The organizers, like, people are still sitting here. It's like almost 11 o'clock, but they were sharing their stories with each other. And afterwards, people said, this is the most powerful conference I've been to. Not because of anything I had to say. It was because they were sharing stories with each other.
Well, maybe combination.
but yes, definitely check out Steve's website. It's buildingfaithfamilies.org. If you're listening on our podcast, you won't see what's up on our screen here. But you have a lot of great resources. He has podcasts and studies and books. And definitely dive into those resources for your family that... Really.
And there's a talk I have, there's two talks that I've been giving at conferences about raising my own son with disability called Finding Hope and Redemption. And there's another one, You Can't Do It Alone, about developing a team of people, therapists, support team, whatever, that I gave last year several times. So I think they're both going to be online. If they're not, ask me and do you have my email address? I'll put it up here. How about that? There you go. Well, it's been a privilege, Peggy.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't see where your is your email address come up yet?
I put on the team chat. Does that work?
Oh, possibly. I got to figure out where that is.
Down the bottom, I have a little orange button. Oh, yep.
Let me copy that over.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to turn that crawler off and put it on here. So definitely spdemi@gmail.com. So definitely get in touch with Steve with any of those questions about those resources. Thank you for sharing that.
You're
welcome. No, this has been a great conversation. I appreciate your time and you sharing just from your heart. It's so important for all of us to do that. And just thank you for that. And for those of you that weren't at the beginning of our broadcast, I do want to announce that Steve is now our chairman-elect for SPED Homeschool for 2020. So we'll be working together, which
amen.
Lots of fun. Definitely.
Well, I just noticed, Peggy, that my initials are SPD. So I think this is providential.
There we go. It was meant to be. So definitely. And we want to thank Areason4 for sponsoring this broadcast. And you can find more of their information at areason4.com. So thank you for that. Oh, definitely. Let's end in praying. And then I will announce what our broadcast is for next week after we're done with that. You do the honors. Okay.
Thank you, Father, for the wonders of technology, but even more so that promise that where two or three are gathered, you're in our midst by your good spirit. Thank you for being with us today. And thank you that we got to share and talk and communicate. And thank you for ideas that came unexpected. And I pray especially for each of us and Cheryl in particular, that you'll help us to find like-minded believers that we can bear each other's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. And I pray that churches and maybe a support group that Cheryl talked about. But whatever venue you choose to use, I pray that you'll give us support. We can't do this by ourselves. And we need you, and we need other believers to be your feet and your hands and your arms. And so open those doors up supernaturally by your Spirit, and help us to find compassionate, empathetic people that we can walk along our journey together with. But thank you for your Spirit that is with us in every situation, the divine comforter. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Yes, and also I wanted to get to, there was a question about teenagers Cheryl Carter had. Definitely check out our resources for high schoolers on the Sped Homeschool website, but also just know that we have a manual coming out that's just going to be for high school. We're working on it right now with a whole bunch of other organizations. So teens is definitely an area. We definitely need a lot more information. I think I have 4 different talks I give at conferences just on high school, because there's so much information that is not out there yet. So anyways, lots of comments. Thank you
all
for.
I didn't make this comment, but Sylvia had talked about her dear son that had the blood clot, and yeah. God bless you. I hear you.
And yes.
I'm listening.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, thanks all for joining our conversation. Next week, we'll be back to our regular time, which is Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Central. And we're going to talk about celebrating the holidays without compromising your family values. This whole month, we're focusing on family dynamics and different aspects. And a lot of times, our family doesn't understand the issues we have, and they want us to compromise what our children need, what we need. And then the holidays are a very difficult time. So we're going to talk with life coach and leadership coach Darla Williams about that, and about holding true to what your family needs and standing in that without compromising. So we'll look forward to that conversation next week. So anyways, thank you all for your viewership. You're welcome, Sylvia. And we'll see you again here next week. And do make sure you join the support group where we keep this conversation going all week. And thank you for Reason 4 for donating this and sponsoring this broadcast, as well as those of you that support Sped Homeschool through your donations. So have a great rest of your day, everybody. And we'll see you again next week. Thanks again, Steve.
You're welcome. Thanks, Peggy. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody.